stand by.
It's the weekend of March 12th, 2005. I'm Jeff.
I'm Pat.
And you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Pat.
Hi.
Pat, how you doing?
I'm fine. How about you, Jeff?
Oh, good. We made it to issue number 4.
Woohoo!
Volume 4. Number 4 for the archives.
You know, though, I still have a little bit of my sniffles. I cannot wait till I'm 100% normal.
You know what? You're not alone. I mean, I've gone back and forth for the last 2 weeks, and there's a lot of people at work that are just down with the count. It's been a weird, wacky virus thing going around. It's wacky, I'm telling you.
Well,
wacky.
It's wacky. Well, all I have to say is, you know, you lesser people get diseases and sicknesses and illnesses, but I come from incredibly good genetic
stock. You should not talk down to our listeners.
And I never get sick, ever.
And what have you been the last 2 weeks?
Sick. Yeah, you know I have a dog, Belle.
I know you have a dog, Belle. We really need to put some pictures up on the website.
Yes, we do. Belle is a great dog, and I walk her twice a day usually, and I generally walk in the morning just after it gets light, and sometimes I meet up with Jan, who has a dog named Askham. So Jan,
ask him what?
Well, ask him his name. Ask him what kind of dog he is. He never replies, but his name is Askham.
All right.
Anyway, so she and I try to be good neighbors, and we pick up our dog poop, which is pretty disgusting, but nonetheless, we pick it up.
Good.
So anyway, we were walking and talking, and all of a sudden, out of the shadows, this woman comes out, and she starts yelling at me, and she starts saying, "If you put your dog poop in my trash bin again, I'm going to take it out and throw it in your yard."
Jeez.
I was shocked.
Because you were putting the poop in her bin.
Well, yes.
Which is not a big deal, I don't think.
Well, right. It's in a pink perfumed bag. It's tied at the top, and it's dropped into a City of Dallas trash bin.
Why are some people so weird about this stuff? They're trash. Who cares?
Well, on top of it all, her trash bin is right there on the edge of the curb. So I didn't go into her property. And by the way, when this particular thing happened, I didn't do it. Jan did it. That makes any difference.
Right.
So, well, you know, my biggest problem in life is my, what is it called? I call it the "you're not the boss of me" syndrome. So the first thing that happened when she said this to me is I immediately go to, "I'll do whatever I want to do." But, you know, I've been socialized well, so I went ahead and said to her as nicely as I could, I said, "I did not know that troubled you. You know, all you had to do is ask, and we won't do it again."
Well, that's a very nice reply.
Well, you'd think that she would have, even if she was mad, said, "Yes, it bothers me. Don't do it again. I'd appreciate it." I would have said again, "You got it. We got a deal." But no, she continued to insult me, telling me how disgusting of a habit it was and filthy and on and on. And then that my analytical side kicked in, because I'm thinking, wait a second. How can this be disgusting?
Right.
It's picked up. It's in an enclosed container. It's in a trash bin, which is where it belongs. What's wrong with that? It went right over her head. And she ended up saying this next comment to me: "It's because you're white."
Wow, what color was she?
She was Hispanic.
Wow.
And I was dumbfounded.
Wow, is that a weird thing?
So I said to her, "My last name is Rodriguez," and she said, "It doesn't matter, you're still white." And I said the next thing, which was the best thing I could think of saying, which was, "That is so stupid," and walked away.
Yeah, I mean, my interpretation of things like that, you know, when you try to be nice and say, acknowledge, "Well, gee, I didn't know that bothered you," and so forth, and they still just sort of rail at you. The way I look at it is I sort of write it off as they're having a bad day. Something else happened that's completely unrelated to you and your dog crap, you know, and they're taking it out on you, but it's like, come on, grow up.
It is funny. Other people yell at me to say, you know, "Don't let your dog poop in my yard." And I always just say, okay, what else am I supposed to say?
Right.
Anyway, people are so annoying.
People can be very annoying. Well, talking about annoying people, I have a little bitch and complain about the media lately. We at work, we have a break room, and in that break room, I'll go and get my coffee, I'll get my water.
And your spinach?
I'll get my spinach, my little microwavable spinach, and, you know, all my stuff. Every time I go in there, they have CNN or Fox Network, whatever happens to be turned on. And Pat, it's always the same crap. I mean, yesterday, the whole thing was on the Atlanta courthouse murders. Three people were killed. And I'll admit, it's kind of sensational and interesting. But every time I go in, they're playing the same story. There's so many other things going on in the world. Three people got killed in a courthouse. You know, not big news. I'm sorry, it's really not. And the day before, it was all Michael Jackson and his pajama pants. And I mean, every time I would go in there. Now, possibly I went in just at the time they were talking about it, but I don't think so. And then before that, Martha Stewart. Everything Martha Stewart. And I am just getting totally disgusted because there's a lot of other things that are more important. There's a bankruptcy bill that just passed in Congress. There's all the stuff that's going on in the Middle East in terms of, you know, different sort of democracies starting to come out and so forth. And there's just a lot of interesting things going on. And all we care about, or all the news reporters are reporting on, is this celebrity information and three people got killed at the courthouse. I don't think that's news.
Oh, I don't think that's news either, but I think they're pandering to the consumerism of Americans. I mean, that's the product they want. They don't want to know about the Afghan prisoners that were tortured by the U.S. military. That's too upsetting. So they want to know that Michael Jackson wears pajama pants to court.
So it's a TV show. It's not really a news show. What is a reporter then?
Well,
what's the definition of a reporter?
I don't know how to explain that, and I see your point. And it's funny because when, you know, Jan and I walk every morning, and she was telling me that she said yesterday, she said, I'm so sick of Michael Jackson. I think it's a sad thing, but I'm tired of hearing it.
Right.
That's
right.
How I feel.
Let's let him have his day in court. Let's go away. Let justice be done. And, you know,
exactly.
I don't really care about it. The 5-minute update. In fact, I'm disgusted by the 5-minute update.
But she said she thought that there were these, that now there's a blurring of lines between reality and news, and that they almost come up with these themes.
Yeah.
And
I think these networks are absolutely shaping our perception of the news.
Yes.
Without a doubt. And I just think it's a bad trend.
News. Well, Jeff, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was telling you I was a little bit bummed out.
Right.
And I have found something to at least momentarily keep me happy. I don't know. I think it's going to keep me at least happy till April 11th.
April 11th. You know, it's good to be happy till April 11th. What happens on April 11th? Is that the day of doom?
No, that's not the day of doom. But here's what's happened. I discovered that, well, you know, I can't remember exactly when this happened, but Pepsi started this promotion. It's called Drink Win Play, where on their 20-ounce and 1-liter products of like Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, Mountain Dew, and so forth, they have a game where you open up the cap and you win an iTunes song.
Right, I've heard of this.
Have you seen this?
I've heard of it.
Okay. Well, you know, the only drink I drink is Diet Pepsi or Diet Coke. To me, they taste exactly the same. But I love Mountain Dew. And most of the time, whenever Pepsi has promotions, they almost never, first of all, if you go to 7-Eleven stores or something like that, most of them don't carry Diet Mountain Dew.
Right.
And if they have it, because there's less demand for it, it typically doesn't have the little game on it. Like last year, a colleague had me help him collect Diet Mountain Dew products for, I think he was, you got so many points and then you could buy some kind of merchandise.
Wow.
So I was helping with that, but only as long as it was Diet Mountain Dew, which I love.
Something
anyway,
you could drink.
Exactly. I'm so excited now because I found several stores that have Diet Mountain Dew. And I've got a couple of friends helping me. And so far, you know, it's 1 in 3 you're supposed to win. My win ratio is 36%. So I'm basically at what the percentage is. But, I mean, me personally, I have not gotten the 1 in 3. My friend at work, Corey, he's bought twice and won twice.
Wow.
But he's given me those. But, you know, I want to, of course, and this is why I'm telling you that this, Jeff. I want to come up with, I guess, some kind of function that tells me when I need to stop playing the game because, you know, I could just go out there and buy the songs instead of drinking the Mountain Dew.
Right.
Right? So I'm coming up, I want to come up with some kind of function that's going to take into account how I value the excitement of playing the game.
Right.
How I value the excitement of drinking Mountain Dew.
So utilities of excitement.
Right. And then, of course, the, you know, winning. I mean, having the song.
Right.
Right. So the biggest thing I'm thinking right now is, what is it? We've talked about it in the past. The hedonic adaptation.
Okay.
Which says that as you get something that you think you really want, and the more often you get it, the less you value it. Right.
Right.
But now that's, I kind of think that as far as the excitement of winning, I'm just excited today as when I started this, which was just a week ago. I get excited every day, like, yay, I get to play the game and maybe I'm going to win.
Well, this is a very good statement, you know, talking about the advertising. They came up with the right advertising because it's really hitting you.
Well, it is. But
it's really working. It's making you buy Mountain Dew. Well, is it
well,
making
no, no,
you
no.
buy Mountain Dew? You buy it anyways.
No, that's not true. I never buy Diet Mountain Dew.
Ah.
See, so there's a lot of value I'm getting right now because I don't have Mountain Dew. I don't drink Diet Mountain Dew very often. And when I drink it, it feels like such a treat.
Cool.
So I get so much, you know, satisfaction out of it. But I have drunk a Diet Mountain Dew every day for a week now. I'm getting bored. I'm losing interest.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it seems like to me at some point, you know, I need to stop buying Diet Mountain Dew and just buy the song. Will you help me with my utility function, Jeffy?
I will. I'll get out the old math books and stats books and we'll do some probability distributions and we will nail it. And then we'll distribute it and publish it and we'll be famous.
I think we should do that. I came up, of course, with a rudimentary return on investment. And so far, I'm like negative 40%.
That's not typically a good business venture.
Well, but I wanted to ask you something else. Here's the other deal. You can only play 10 times a day and they're limiting you to 200 entries.
Interesting.
Why would that be the case?
Yeah, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. You'd think they'd want to encourage it as much as possible. I guess what they're saying is they just want to try to distribute it as much as possible and get maybe new people to drink the product. Maybe that's what they're focused their advertising on.
Well, I was going to say, I don't see why whether you buy 200 and I buy 200 or whether I just buy 400, they're still selling 400 units of their product. They care?
Right. Like I said, I think they probably just wanted to get it a wider audience.
Very good. You're so smart, Jeffy.
I got lucky. I prepared.
You prepared. You did.
Okay, well, what I wanted to do was, remember last week we went through those Beatles mashups?
Yes, I loved them.
Yeah, well, I didn't do mashups this week, and I've only pulled one song, but I really like this song. I've got a little 30-second segment of it. It's a Beatles song, and it's done in a comic way.
You mean in a comedic way?
In a comedic way. Oh, God, you and your words. In a comedic way. In the style of another band. I want you to try to guess the other band.
Oh, I suck.
I know
I'm
you're going
to
suck at it. I know you're going
to
suck at it. But the song is very, very well done. It's first of all, have you heard of the Beatles song A Day in the Life?
I don't know.
I read the news today.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh.
Okay, good, 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 good. And this band is called Big Daddy, and they're out of L.A., and they do a lot of these sort of comedic, did I say it right?
Yes.
Comedic songs, and they do it, but they do them very well.
Wait, before you start that, do you remember when we had that day where you and I were talking about how we love the word daddy in songs?
Yes.
Daddy.
Big Daddy is funny.
Big Daddy.
Exactly.
You know, when I was growing up, my dad made us say, Big Daddy, may I be excused, please, before we could leave the dinner table.
Big Daddy. If I have kids, that's what I'm going to do. All right, here it goes.
Lawrence Welk.
I saw a film today.
Buddy Holly.
Very good. This is fun.
Let's listen to it.
Turned away. But I just had to look. Having read the book. Well, I'd love to turn you on.
Ooh, turn me on.
And that's all I picked out. I didn't want to play the whole thing. But I really like that. I got that from Coverville this week. So those out there, tune into Coverville. They play some pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah,
Big Daddy out of L.A.
Big Daddy. That sounds great. Well, one of my favorite songs is Walk This Way by Aerosmith.
Walk This Way. Yeah. I love that song.
Well, I love the way, I think it's Run DMC,
I like the guitar riff on that. I've never heard Run DMC's version.
Oh, I'll play it for you. It's so much better, but it sounds like, what's interesting is, to me, I know it's not the same thing as what you just
right.
played.
Well, mine was comedic.
But but conceptual.
Or as I like to say, comedy-ized.
ha-ha-ized.
Ha-ha. Yeah.
I just like it because you can definitely hear the Walk This Way song done by Aerosmith, but it's so much better by Run DMC.
I'll have to listen to that sometime.
Yeah. Hey, another thing I wanted to talk about, just mention real quickly, is, you know, I went to 7-Eleven this morning to get coffee.
Right.
And I like 7-Eleven for another reason, because when you go there, they frequently, you know, keep up with the time. So it's,
you know, I'm getting the fact that 7-Eleven is really a big part of your life.
Yeah, that's so sad.
And it's becoming a big part of this podcast. I really think we need to contact 7-Eleven about sponsorship.
Oh, it's kind of sad.
And they are based here in Dallas, so...
They're based here, best here.
I know. I think somebody's using that. All right. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No problem. So what makes me happy is that when you go there, they always have the right theme. Like they had, you could buy candy and flowers and all that other stuff for, what's that day in February that is useless for girls like me? Valentine's Day. That's right. Well, now when you go in,
who needs a freaking holiday?
It's a stupid holiday. Now they have all their Easter candy out.
You know what I just discovered? What? I like that voice. Hey! Welcome to the podcast. All right.
Anyway,
I'm in a silly mood.
You're in a silly mood. Well, you're frequently in a silly mood.
True.
Have you been drinking this morning?
Not yet, but it is St. Patty's weekend here in the Lower Greenville area, and we're going to go out later and walk about the neighborhood. And
what are we going to do?
Maybe drink a little bit of green beer.
Ooh, yeah, green
and
beer.
And I think Susan's coming over. Maybe green mimosas might be in our future.
I want a green mimosa.
Just might be.
Well, okay.
Okay.
So
anyway.
Back to 7-Eleven. The only thing I noticed this morning when I was buying my coffee was that they have Twix bars out there now, and they had a special Twix bar, and I'm thinking, how could you make a Twix bar more special? Twix is one of my favorite candy bars.
Right.
But it's covered...
I'm not a big fan of Twix.
Really?
Not my favorite.
It's covered in dark chocolate.
Beautiful.
It is beautiful.
For you chocolate lovers. See, I'm not a big chocolate lover.
Well, good. Then there's more chocolate product for me. I'll eat your fair share.
True.
Anyway, so that's it. That's what's new at 7-Eleven. Dark chocolate covered Twix bars.
Okay. That's not just 7-Eleven. To be fair, that's the Twix company.
Oh, well.
The Twix company.
They're M&M
Mars.
M&M Mars. But I have to tell you, you can go to the internet and find an FAQ about Twix. Candy bars, yes.
There you go. You should have brought it with you so we could all be fascinated by Twix.
I can tell you a few things. Do you want to know how many calories are in two Twix bars?
Let me guess. I'm going to guess 210.
280.
Hmm.
How many fat calories?
I'll say half of that.
Close, 130.
Okay.
But I must point this out. There is 1 gram of dietary fiber. So,
hey.
When you need one more gram of dietary fiber, have a Twix bar.
Eat Twix, poop well.
You know, Susan and I started this diet one time, and in that diet, they have a whole chapter on what the perfect poop looks like.
Wow. Now we're getting into Chris Rockwell Daily Download territory, aren't we?
And I would have to say that I won't discuss the perfect poop, maybe some other time, but I have produced the perfect poop. It met all the criteria for the perfect poop.
I'll have to read that sometime. I've had some poops that I've been proud of that I just sort of look at and was like, I don't want to flush you.
Have you ever had a poop that looked like, looked like the Madonna or something like that? They could put that on eBay.
That's true. So how do you preserve it, though? It's like it starts losing its stuff right after it's been produced.
I guess you can't take it to a taxidermist.
I don't think it would work.
Taxidermist. Speaking of eBay, Jay Leno also does a bit on strange things he's seen sold on eBay.
Right.
Now, he did not do this bit, but I did read about this. Evidently, there was this exotic dancer, let's say, and I think a couple of years ago, perhaps she was arrested for assault because of her large breasts.
Oh, that actually hurt somebody, huh?
Yes. Her breast size was like 69HH.
Wow, all real?
No, they were fake breasts.
Fake, okay.
So she had them removed. And she was maybe doing some house cleaning, and she came across her boob implants. And I think she's putting them on eBay.
Wow. Are you bidding?
I'm not bidding, but what
Nora's I was complaining about that.
I had two thoughts about this. First of all, do you think the 69HH was accidental?
69HH. No, you're right. It's
69.
It's got to be.
She picked her favorite number.
She picked it.
I wonder why that's her favorite number.
I don't know. What's so special about 69?
What's so special about 69?
Did you ever know a guy in grad school named Bob Cattell?
No.
You never knew. He was in my class. We used to play volleyball when the score was 6-9. I still remember the way he used to call it. 6-9! So, Bob Cattell, if you're out there in the universe listening, I remember you for that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I kind of wanted to bring a tape measure in here to see just how big 69 would be. I think, how tall are you? You said you're
6'4".
6'4". Okay. 5 feet is 60 inches.
Right.
I mean, her breast size oh my God. That's just
huge.
Enormous.
It looks like a freak. That's freak.
I would imagine. Freakish. Afterwards, let's go on the internet and look for it, okay?
Sure. We can check it out. Check out those things. Yeah, baby. Well, I've got some statistics of interest that I wanted to share. They'll be kind of quick here. 27% of people read blogs. Just 27% of all, I guess it's online U.S. adults. And 7% write them.
Wow.
Which is kind of interesting. It's a little bit higher in both categories than I would have thought. 27% read blogs. So blogs are becoming mainstream, which maybe ties into my earlier segment about the news. Maybe people are trying to get some of their alternative news from blogs, but I'm guessing most people just get entertained by blogs.
Well, I'm entertained by blogs.
Yeah, I am too.
But it also, blogs appeal to me for probably as a result of just how I was as a child. I used to like to go to the library, and I would open up a book and then see something else that was interesting and go open up another book and so forth. And on the blogs, I find that, you know, you read something and they'll post, you know, somebody else said this. And before I know it, you know.
Right.
Inevitably, it always ends up in porn. But, you know, I can't help that.
I don't
that.
Think you can go anywhere in the web anyways without hitting a few porn links. It just naturally gravitates toward that. Well, the other thing that's interesting is iTunes has sold recently their 300 millionth song. That's 300 million. That's $300 million at $1 a song. That's pretty significant, I think. And the other thing that I thought was interesting was they said the average iTunes listener has about 21 songs. They've downloaded 21 songs.
Oh, I've downloaded more than 21 songs.
And I've downloaded less, so we may average out eventually.
I would like to point out that Bill Gates, I think, has $86 billion. So,
boy.
What did you say? 300 million
300
songs?
Million.
Puny.
Puny, yeah, no kidding. And this is interesting. T-Mobile, remember how they had the big thing with Paris Hilton's cell phone being hacked because of the T-Mobile Sidekick cell phone? Well, after that story went out, guess what happened?
What happened?
T-Mobile sold more Sidekicks. It was just nothing but positive press for them.
You're kidding.
Which goes to my...
Shows to go,
what I've always been saying, any publicity... good or bad is good publicity.
What about the publicity of that Boeing guy who, you know, is resigning his CEO position because he was...
Oh, don't get me started on this. I was watching Bill Maher last night, and he had a big segment on it that was pretty funny.
What did he say?
Well, he basically said, you know, what is a matter with our country? We've got this, you know, 68-year-old guy, and he's doing the nasty with some 55-year-old chick from accounts receivable who... cares? I mean, why does he have to be fired? What does it have to do with his leadership and how run Boeing is? And he was saying, you know, we're in a time where Boeing is making things that our kids are needing overseas for the military. It's like, you know, this is just ridiculous. What are we becoming as people where we sort of, you know, that has to be big news and that we care about it and it's enough to get him fired.
Well,
let these old dried up people go in a hotel room and screw each other's brains out. Who cares? I mean, it's like such a boring thing to me.
Well, let me ask you something. Was he forced to resign, or did he just choose to based on sort of maybe people's lifting their eyebrows?
I think a lot of these guys are sort of told by their boards, you know, they got to get out. So it's probably PR, but I don't know.
Well,
I don't know for a fact.
The other thing I think I heard was that it wasn't just that it was happening, but that there were some lapses of judgment. What do you think that means?
I don't know.
That they were publicly seen or something like that?
I don't know. Maybe, yeah. Maybe it meant they were public scene.
Maybe they were just playing kissy face.
Yeah, I doubt it. But maybe they were, I mean, he's 70 years old and 55 years old playing kissy face. If you saw that, I guess I'd be disgusted too. But, you know.
You're disgusted.
You know, maybe it's just a lack of discretion in the sense that he's CEO and he shouldn't be screwing around with people in the company. But, you know, you can make a big deal out of that or you don't have to. Somebody has to make a choice. And they made the choice to make a big deal out of it. It's ridiculous.
You know, Jeff, I remember being probably in my mid-20s, and I
Long time. How can you remember that far, Lauren?
I really thought that after 40, people didn't have sex.
I thought so, too. And so far, I'm proving that to be pretty much true. Sadly. So.
Well, after I became 40, I thought to myself, I don't think I'm ready to give up sex. And, well, you know, not that I was having that much sex to begin with, but right. I was pretty sure I wasn't ready to give it up. And now I'm pretty much convinced that after 50, I won't have any sex. So I now need to, I've kept track of all the number of times I've had sex, and I'm trying to increase my percentage, you know, because I think I spent easily from like 37 to like maybe 40 not getting much action.
Yeah.
So now I need to have twice as much action to sort of, you know, even out the no action in the 30.
It'd be really interesting to do something like the Kinsey report on just single people like our age, because I know if you went the frequency of sex in my whole adult career, I know, and you looked at the median point when I hit half of all my sexual occurrences. Sadly to say, it's probably sometime in my early 30s, late 20s. I mean, probably even more skewed, and I'm sure it's skewed for most people. I don't think we're particularly exceptions. It just seems like, you know, sex has dried up a lot in the last few years. But it's just, I think there's less partners out there available.
Well,
I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I remember when I was, towards the end of last year when I was going out with Dwayne. He claimed he was 47. I think he might have been a little older. He might have been 49. And we had this conversation one time where basically he said he still wanted to have sex. And I remember thinking to myself, this is such a strange conversation to have. I mean, I couldn't understand why he was telling me that. So basically I just decided to ask, well, why are you telling me this? Are you saying that the women you go out with don't want to have sex? And his answer was, yeah.
Huh.
That most of them didn't want to have sex. And I thought, well, pal.
Wow.
You know, you will be the one tired before me. And I have to say that, you know, he didn't live up to my expectations.
There you go.
So take that, Dwayne, even though you dumped me.
Take that, Dwayne, if you're listening.
I would have dumped your ass because of lack of performance.
Lack of performance. Pat, you can be pretty much of a tyrant with that.
I just have standards.
All right, you know what time it is.
Is it time for...
Getting to know you.
Getting to know you. I'm never going to tire of doing that.
Oh, I know. It's a fun song. Getting to know all about me.
And my needs.
and my needs. This is about me and my needs. All right.
Tell me about you, Jeff.
I will tell you. I am from the town of Rock Island, Illinois. And I would describe it, but my mom actually called in and does a wonderful job of describing my hometown. So here she is.
I just want to say Jeff is not a mama's boy.
No, I'm not.
This is Jeff's mom. Talking to you not from Dallas, as you may think, but all the way from Jeff's hometown of Rock Island. Now, you may want to know where Rock Island is. Well, I'll tell you first, it's a Midwestern state, one of those ones that sort of sounds like all vowels, or you don't even have to use your tongue. You could say the words without even touching the roof of your mouth. You know, Iowa, Ohio, Indiana. Well, we're the other one. We're Illinois, Rock Island, Illinois. How do you find Rock Island, Illinois? Well, I'll give you directions right from Dallas. You guys can just head on east out of town. I think it's Highway 20. Keep on going. You're heading straight east pretty much. Just keep on going until you hit the Louisiana border. Now, we call it Louisiana up here, but I want you to understand it. Go all the way across Louisiana until you hit a big river, and that'll be the Mississippi. When you hit that river, take a hard left and keep heading north following that river. You're going to be winding around a little bit, but basically you're heading north all the way. Going to go past quite a few southern states, then you'll hit Illinois. Now, I'm not sure you'll know when you're there, because down south in Illinois, people talk a little bit like southerners. But when you get a little farther north, you'll find you got some Yankee kind of sounds coming from us. And also, Illinois is a state. We're actually sitting on the east side of the Mississippi River, and the river sort of turns around and makes Illinois look like it's an old man with a big fat belly. You follow the river around that belly and keep on heading north, little ways, until suddenly the river will take a sharp turn east or right. And you'll also see something that looks like McDonald's laid an egg there. Arches. We've got some wonderful bridges up here. When you hit all those arches, you'll know you're in Rock Island. What's Rock Island like? Well, it's got rivers, it's got bluffs and hills, it's got prairies, it's got bald eagles flying, it's got coyotes in our ravines. We have just about everything. It's a different part of the country, and you're going to hear more about it somewhere down the road as we keep on talking. But for now, there's one message we'll leave with you, and that is, think of Rock Island, because Rock Island rocks. Goodbye.
Okay, that's Mom. And what about you, Pat? Tell us your segment of getting to know you.
Well, anybody who knows me very well knows that I am a huge NPR lover. I started listening to...
I did not know that.
I started listening to NPR 10 years ago, and I have not listened to another radio station since. I am a friend of KERA Radio 90.1 here in Dallas, Texas. I have also been to 3 live broadcasts of NPR or PRI shows. I have been to What Do You Know? In fact, you and I went to that one,
Jeff. We did. I enjoyed that.
Do you remember what happened the day when we were going?
Yes, that was the day that the Discovery, was it?
One of those space shuttles
blew up.
Exactly.
Right over Texas.
Sad moment of silence. I've also been to This American Life. I love Ira Glass.
I saw This American Life. I don't know if we went together, but I saw Ira Glass doing a show.
Yes, I want to marry Ira Glass. If he's married, I want him to get divorced so he can marry me. Although I am starting to begin, I might be happy with polygamy, so I need to get in touch with him about that.
There you go.
And also, I recently went to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I went with Susan this past week, and it was just a great show. I had a lot of fun. One of the things I like the most about Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is they have a listener limerick. And the listener limericks are always news-related, and they're just so clever. But I kind of feel lucky, Jeff, because I have somebody in my life who can write limericks quite well. And
Excellent.
You know him.
Wes.
Wes, exactly. Wes Williams. And we're going to get Wes online to read us one of my favorite limericks produced by him.
All right.
In fact, well, who am I kidding? He's on the line with us already. Hi, Wes.
Hello, Pat.
How are
Hello,
you?
Jeff.
Hi, Wes. How are you doing?
Just fine.
How are you doing on this wonderful Saturday morning, Wes?
Well, I was sleeping my day away, and then I got this interruption from reality, and it's you guys, but I can't think of anything better than that's pretty a sucky thing to say. But
Wes, that is our favorite thing to do, is to interrupt people while they're sleeping. In fact, Pat, I gave a lot of thought to that, and I'm thinking we should start doing our show at 3 a.m.
I think so, too.
And just have a whole call about calling our friends.
Well, actually, when I called Wes, I said, what are you doing? And he could tell he was just waking up. And I'm like, you mean you haven't been up since 7 doing this and that? And he said, no. Anyway,
now,
Wes.
Only we do this and that.
Oh, that's right. Only we do this and that. So, Wes, I was wondering,
Not to put him in the spot so early in the morning, but...
But... Do you have that fabulous limerick that you can read to us, and do you need to introduce it somehow?
As a matter of fact, I have it right here in my head. However, I can introduce it. It was written for a guy named Craig. I probably shouldn't say his last name since this is a worldwide broadcast type of thing.
And we have millions of listeners.
Millions. I think last count was 2 million.
Yeah, but he was my boss, and he was going to get a vasectomy, and he was really, really worried about it. And so, being the kind of rub-it-in kind of guy, I wrote this little limerick for him. It's called The Vasectomy.
I like it already.
It goes like this. There was a young man from the bank who got snipped at the base of his shank. Soon after the deed, to his wife said, take heed. You can fiddle, but please don't yank.
Very good.
That's very good. All right. Well, thanks very much, Wes. I'll talk to you at work, probably.
All right. And good to talk to you, Jeff.
All right. Good to talk to you, too, Wes. Talk to you later.
Bye, Pat.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye. And now it's time for your Dallas Minute with Pat and Jeff. All right. I saw something in the news. This could be any town, anywhere, and in fact, I've seen references to this in the great literature in the last, 200, 300 years. But I think people relate to to Dallas when you hear this. There's a wedding that's on April 2nd. I'm not going to give the name of the wedding, the name of the people. They're doing an invite list, and they had a little social snafu. There is an A list and a B list. And get this, Pat. They invited... the B list is everybody that they want at this wedding. And apparently they're rich, well-to-do people, so they have a whole itinerary on their weekend of things that are going on. Well, the A list got invited to everything, and the B list was a subset of the A list that got invited only to a few things.
Uh-huh.
And somehow this got out into the press. And one of the interesting things is there was actually a kid who's a friend of the bride and groom, very good friend. Well, his parents are on the A list and he's on the B list. And the reason is because his parents
have
are
money.
Yes, and they have more social connections, yada, yada, yada. Ah. So I bring it up in the Dallas Minute because it is a Dallas local family. I never heard of them, you know. Well, that doesn't mean anything. But people associate this kind of behavior with Dallas. But, you know, it's the same kind of society behavior that goes on every town anywhere. Pat and I, by the way, are on the C list. And the C list, what it does, it allows you to show up and we get 5 minutes before the cops come and take us away.
Oh,
so that would be great.
Minutes.
Looking forward to April 2nd. Put that on your calendar.
Do I have to wear clothes?
Absolutely not.
Well, my Dallas Minute is... related to the fact that we're getting ready to go into spring. So I live in the have-not part of town, and I decided to go see what the haves were doing.
Oh.
So especially because the haves generally have tulips and azaleas. So I went on my way to your place here.
Right.
I drove south on Preston. And when you pass, I think it's basically like, Lover's Lane. Along Preston, you can start seeing on the right-hand side of the street, you can start seeing all of the tulips and the azaleas.
They are starting to come out. In fact, today is a beautiful day.
Well, here's the thing. The tulips are almost through blooming. I had no idea.
Really? Now, that surprises me because I haven't seen them too much on my commutes.
Oh. The azaleas, however, I noticed, you know, the big azalea bushes that are along Preston.
Right.
They are just starting to bud. So I think next weekend they will be out in their full glory. So if you live in Dallas and you want to pretend like you're a have, go drive down Preston, south of Lover's Lane.
And my commute takes me right through Armstrong and Highland Park. And another, again, great azalea, beautiful. Great azalea, beautiful. Great azalea viewing. All right. And that is your Dallas Minute. All right, and that about wraps up the show this week. And I think last week, Pat, you told me you were going to wear pink bottoms, pink panties.
Well, let me show you what I have on,
Jeff.
Woohoo!
Woo. Look at that. Wow, nice pink bow on it and everything.
That's right, because I'm a girly girl.
Very nice. Well, what are you going to be wearing for us next week?
Well, I'll be wearing black see-through panties that have a decoration in the back so that, like, when I bend over and I have on my really tight jeans.
Wow.
You'll see it.
Yes. See, there's a reason why I do this podcast every week.
What about you, Jeff? You were supposed to wear a banana hammock.
I went and I looked. I went to the shops. I went to probably 10 different places. You have banana hammocks? You know, apparently I didn't ask for the right thing, so I don't know what happened. So now I just got my lame undies on.
All right. Well, then don't show them to me.
Yeah,
imagination is better.
Yeah, there you go. It's pretty boring. Anyways, had a great time.
Me too.
Make sure to visit our website at www.thisandthatpodcast.com. Our phone number is 1-206-202-TALK. That's 1-206-202-8255. And nobody picks up, so you're free to leave a message and tell us if we can play it on the air or not. And that's going to do it.
Well, that's great. Let's go drink some green beer, Jeff.
Green beers for everybody. Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, Jeff.
Right.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks, all.